Good morning. My name is Kathy Hart. I'm the associate minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, and I am so glad to be with you in worship this morning. Now, today we conclude our series on the stories Jesus told, and before we dive into today's story, I wanted to share with you a story that I've been following, and you've probably been following as well, and that is the fire, the disaster in Lahaina, Maui. And as you watch the news and as it continues to unfold, tragedy after tragedy is shared. And our hearts break when we see these things. We have been through similar things as hurricanes have affected our state and Ian and Irma. And so we understand that pain and that tragedy. Many of you have come to me and said, are we doing anything? And I just want to let you know that UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, the United Methodist Church Disaster Organization, is already on hand. They're working with the Pacific West Conference, and supplies are moving in to help those who have been displaced, and they will continue to be there throughout this tragedy. So if you want to help, you can certainly do that by making your check payable to PHUMC and marking the memo Maui and UMCOR, and you can do the same thing online. There's an UMCOR drop-down, and we can continue to support them through this time. But as I followed this story, one of the things that has just really drawn me in was the banyan tree. There was a huge tree in the center of Lahaina, and it was the focal point for the community. It is called Banyan Tree Park, and all the community events happen there. Block parties, community service events, children playing and climbing up in the trees. They have a festival each year of 6,500 lights. I can imagine that it would just be gorgeous at that time. And it is a place that when you stand there at sunset, the riotous noise of the birds coming in to find a perch for the night is almost deafening. And this tree was charred by this fire. But as I delved into the story, I wanted to know more about what the significance of this tree was. And so the history behind it is, in 1873, this tree was a gift from Indian missionaries. And it was a gift that celebrated the 50-year anniversary of the first Protestant missionary to Maui. This tree represents tremendous history of cultural and spiritual meaning to the people of Lahaina. And just recently, in April, they celebrated 150 years of this beautiful, magnificent tree that started out as an 8-foot tree planted in this park. And it has since grown to 16 different trunks, 200 feet span, 60 feet high, and has been a shelter and a place for people to come for years. So as I think about this beautiful, magnificent tree, it made me think of our story from Jesus today, the story of the mustard seed. So today we are concluding our series. We've been looking at many of the parables that Jesus told. We looked at the seed of the sower, the parable of the lost son. The parable last week was the shepherd and the sheep, and today it is the mustard seed. Each of these stories has a specific, unique meaning that Jesus wanted to convey to his listeners. And he taught through parables. Parables are a mystery to unravel. They're not a direct story, easy for people to understand. Jesus wants us to think. He wants us to wrestle with these concepts and get thinking outside the box and moving us out of our comfort zone. He also fulfills the prophecy that we see in Psalm 78, verse 2, which says this: I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Hidden lessons. Each story has a hidden lesson that we need to unpack and unfold. And Jesus very often would say to the listeners, those who have ears, let them hear. Well, we all have ears, right? So there's already another hidden meaning. What does he mean, those who have ears? Those whose hearts are open to the Spirit's leading to hear these messages from our past. As Jesus takes these parables and enlightens us and gives us new meaning. But only those hearts that are open will receive it. So today we're going to look at the parable of the mustard seed, which is a very small story because it was a very small seed. But this very small seed carries a very big message about God's kingdom. So in this, I want you to be open-minded, open-hearted, as Jesus was asking his listeners to be. Because those who were closed-minded only saw a story about a tree. But those whose hearts were open saw the seed and how it grew to be shelter for so many birds. So my prayer this morning is that your hearts will be open. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, may we have ears to hear. Amen. Now, this is one of many parables that Jesus told, and he started off by saying, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. And so in this one, it's the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. But I'm going to start with verse 32. We're going to work backwards. So in verse 32, he says, it is the smallest of all seeds, but becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. This tiny seed grows into the largest garden plant that becomes a welcoming place and life-sustaining source of food for everyone. And it's not really a tree. It's a shrub. But it's big enough, it grows big enough, almost sometimes 20 feet, so it could be called a tree. Now, there is a significance to it being a tree, because remember what Psalm 78 said was there are hidden meanings from the past. So Jesus uses Old Testament stories that the people know to connect to his teaching today. Let's take a look at some of those scriptures. In Ezekiel 17:23, we see a vision of a great kingdom that is to come, and it is going to be a majestic cedar sending forth its branches and producing seed. Birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter in its shade of its branches. Sounds familiar. In Psalm 92, verse 12, we see, the godly will flourish like a palm tree and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. And in Psalm 104, verse 12, the birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. So you see how Jesus took the Old Testament and put it into the parable about the mustard seed. It will grow into a large tree that birds will live in. But these verses symbolize a vision of a great empire, the cedar of Lebanon, the kingdom of God. The people were familiar with these scriptures, and Jesus used them to bring new meaning. But those whose hearts were closed heard only what they already knew. Jesus was conveying that the kingdom of God is unlike the kingdoms of this world. And he turns their expectations upside down. The kingdom of God is a powerful kingdom, but not in the way we think. So instead of a mighty cedar tree, they get a mustard seed. Instead of a baby born in a palace into royal bloodline, they get a baby born in a stable. Instead of a mighty warrior leading a mighty army, they get a quiet, peaceful rabbi. And when Jesus enters Jerusalem in the week of Passover, he doesn't enter on a mighty steed. He comes in riding a donkey. This is not the kingdom that people were expecting, but this is God's kingdom at work. So let's go back to verse 31 and take a look at the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is like a mustard seed planted in a field, and it is the smallest of all seeds. Why the mustard seed? Why this proverbial smallest seed? I think we've all heard the phrase, good things come in small packages, right? Or, it's the little things that mean so much. Parents, how many of us have been so frustrated with our kids at Christmas when they open up that magnificent, expensive present that you've bought for them, and all they want to do is play with the box? God uses the seemingly insignificant small things in mighty ways. And Jesus is using hyperbole or exaggeration to make this point about the kingdom of God. Now, as we've seen, he's not the savior that the Israelites were looking for. They wanted a Joshua, a Gideon, a Samson with a mighty army coming in and just annihilating the enemies and bringing in God's powerful, magnificent kingdom. Jesus didn't have a large army. He had a ragtag group of 12 disciples from very ordinary, seemingly insignificant places in their lives. Yet, it was through these 12 and a few others like Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy that took the gospel and spread it across the globe. That's the power of the kingdom of God at work. Now, something to know about mustard plants is that they grow rapidly, often in the wild, but they'll grow as fast as a weed. The kingdom of God grows rapidly. Oh, do not despise the small beginnings. It is through small beginnings that God's true greatness and power shines through. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And his power is evident in the small, seemingly insignificant places in our lives. Let me share with you a story of a small beginning. There was a boy. He was about 8 years old, and he filled his wagon, his little red wagon, with bottles of Coca-Cola. He paid 25 cents for a six-pack, and he took that wagon, and he walked through his neighborhood, and he would sell the bottles for a nickel, a little entrepreneur at work. But this little 8-year-old boy with a small beginning had a big dream. Fast forward to a few years later, and he and his brother open a restaurant. The restaurant becomes quite popular, and they develop this very unique, amazing, tasty chicken sandwich. Fast forward. 2,700 restaurants in 47 states. Somebody's got it. And most recently, they put their newest restaurant on the island of Maui. I am talking about Chick-fil-A. Do not despise the small beginnings and the small dreams. And it took a long time for that to happen. One of the quotes from Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, is he says, "We change the world and ourselves by our response to unexpected opportunities." So I'm wondering what unexpected opportunities God might be bringing into your life, into my life. Earlier, when we blessed the backpacks for the children, I know that those small, insignificant things that I pulled out don't have any meaning beyond what they were created for us. But to God, something that small, like a mustard seed, can become something mighty. And so our prayer is that these children in their classrooms will remember that they too can be used as part of the kingdom of God, that God is with them always. I pray for the teachers and the staff at all the schools, public and private, Westlake, Robin's Nest, Stars and Comets. It's in those small moments that God's kingdom shines through. His kingdom is based and founded on love. So as we show love and mercy and grace and kindness to others, we are being used to let the kingdom of God break through now as it is in heaven. Amen? And like the mustard seed, it starts small, but grows quickly. It spreads from heart to heart, town to town, kingdom to kingdom. And we can all do our part to help God's kingdom. None of us are too small or insignificant. The kingdom of God appears when men and women and children submit to the reign of God in their life. So the parable of the mustard seed is one of those rare parables where the hidden meaning is pretty clear. That God uses something tiny and small to grow his kingdom. Only a powerful and mighty God can grow a whole kingdom from something that small. And if God can do that with a mustard seed, imagine what he could do in your life, in my life. So it starts right here. That small seed is planted right here in our hearts, in our souls, and has the potential to grow and be used into something wonderful. And it is not by our power. All we have to have, all Jesus says is we have to have a mustard seed size of faith. Now, maybe some of you are saying, well, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have any gifts that would be useful to God's kingdom. God doesn't want me. I can't do anything great for God. Or maybe you look out at the world and you say, things are just so messed up in my family, in the community, in the nation, in the world. There's nothing that I could do to make a difference. Wrong. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20 to his disciples, when they thought they couldn't do the job, they tried to heal someone and they failed. And Jesus said, you don't even have enough faith. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move here, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. All we need is the faith of a mustard seed. It's not our job to do the work of building the kingdom, but it is our job to have the faith and the trust in the Lord to build the kingdom through us. There's a quote that I found from an unknown monk in 1100 AD. See if maybe you can relate to this a little bit. When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. And when I found I couldn't change my nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change my town, and as an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize the only thing that I can change is myself. And suddenly, I realized that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. And my family and I could have made an impact on our town, and the impact that they had could change the nation, and I could have indeed changed the world. Friends, do not despise the small beginnings. Imagine what we could do if all of us here allowed the mustard seed to take root in our heart. See, the kingdom of God is not an individual thing. It's about community. It's an interdependent collection of people whose hearts are surrendered to God. One of Chick-fil-A's core values is we are better together. So let's not start with the world. That's too big. Let's start with us. Sometimes things can be so overwhelming in our lives that we don't even know where to begin, and it paralyzes us so we don't do anything. But we start right here. We start with that mustard seed of faith, trusting that God does the heavy lifting. I want to go back to the banyan tree for just a moment. That banyan tree, which was a symbol of hope and faith for that community, if you've been following the story, you know that they have found that it is still alive. Just when you think you're ready to give up hope, there's the glimmer, the small beginning. With a little tending and a little care, that tree is going to be the place for festivals to be held again, for trees, for birds to find a home again. And friends, when you look at your life or when you look at the world, maybe you feel a little bit like the people of Lahana, that there is no hope. But the kingdom of God is still alive and active and growing in our world. And it will continue to grow as long as we have the faith of a seed. And nothing will be able to stop it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that it is not in our doing, but it is all in yours, Lord. So we have faith. Lord, help our unbelief. We have faith and we believe and we trust in you. Take our seeds. Be the planter and put it in the field, and let us be workers to grow your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name, amen.